This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars,
the voice,
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the final Coach's Show of the 2010 season here on the Jaguars Radio Network. I'm Brian Sexton, joined this evening, as I was last, by executive producer extraordinaire Joe Fortunato.
Sound like you got a little something there, buddy.
I spent the better part of the last 4 days absolutely on my back with the flu. It was terrible. I'm not normally a proponent of flu shots, and there are probably healthcare professionals cringing at this very thought. Last year when the
whole... And Mike Ryan?
Yeah, probably so. When the whole H1N1 scare was going out there and the government was getting involved. Remember all that nonsense? And we tried to go get the shots for our boys and we couldn't do it. So we just waited and we were fine. So this, you know, we didn't even get a regular flu shot last year. So this year we decided, nah, we don't need those.
So I caught up with you.
It's a pretty nasty bug. So I would encourage anybody who has not got the flu yet and doesn't have a flu shot yet, you might just want to investigate it. Talk to your doctor and see if it makes sense for you. Because, boy... There were a couple of days where I was thinking, man, I wished I'd gotten that. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm hanging in.
Good. So if you were with us last week, or if you were not, these final two shows, we never have the coach. And so we have decided over the...
Sorry, that's funny.
Yeah, it just is. Over the years, we have taken to making it our season in review. And last week, we started with the Tim Tebow homecoming, the Denver game, and rolled through some ups and downs, the disappointing losses in San Diego and Philadelphia, the big win here, the big loss here, wrapped up the first 8 games, headed into the bye week 4-4 with the David Garrard's masterful performance in Dallas. 4 touchdown passes, ran for 157.8 passer rating, which finished second to, surprise, Tom Brady, who was perfect in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. But, you know, it was that game that made everybody think, wow, David Garrard can really be one of those guys.
Yeah. And he hung in like that, too, for basically almost the remainder of the season.
He was up and down at times. You know, he had moments where he wasn't as sharp as he needed to be. And the truth of the matter is with David Garrard, and Jack has said this and Gina said this, when you give him a strong running game, you give him all the tools he needs. Because when a team has to be worried about the threat of the run and David can set his feet and pass, he is very accurate with a strong arm. So, pardon me. With that, let's get at least one game out of the way here before we take our first break. We'll start our analysis of the second half. And, of course, you know, the second half had some big moments as the Jaguars went on a 5-win in, 6-week sort of run. It was fun to watch this team get things rolling again. So, let's start with the Jaguars-Texans game. And, this was one. Jaguars were wondering what they could do because Matt Schaub is an explosive quarterback. Andre Johnson had lighting people up. And, of course, Arian Foster now is the league's leading rushing back. And no one knew anything about him the year before. And so the Jaguars went back and forth. You know, Josh Scobie and Neil Rackers traded field goals. Then Maurice Drew scored on 3 and 9-yard touchdown runs in the second quarter for his first multiple touchdown game of the season, Joe. And if we go back and look at that game, that's probably when we realized he wasn't healthy all season long. And after the season, they told us about the knee. Maurice told me at one point his ankles were bothering him. I said, ankle? He goes, ankles, both of them. You know, this was the first chance we got to see Maurice look like the old Maurice.
I don't know. You know, Loggy always calls you Rain Man, okay? Now, I know you know what the plays are that we have selected, but you've got no notes in front of you, and yet you know everything about each game you're about to describe. That's just nuts, okay? And I hate even saying nice things about you to your face because that just bothers me.
But, you know, some people can balance their checkbook and I can't. I can remember meaningless things, except that this is meaningful to me. So, anyway, let's fast forward now. The game is 17-17 in the fourth quarter. And Scobie was perfect in this game up until he missed a couple of field goals. Remember, he missed his first two. He was perfect. 14-14 going into the game, 14-16 coming out of it. And then in the fourth quarter, we saw Zach Miller for the first time.
At the 48-yard line, David back to throw. Pocket, collapsing, turns and fires. He's got a man. Zach Miller's got him inside the 30, makes a man miss. He's on the run to the 20. He gets a block. He's going to the 10, the 5. Zach Miller, touchdown Jacksonville.
It was a beautiful run down the left sideline here, and I can just remember watching him catch that ball. And before the ball was even firmly in his hands, he had turned his hips, and when he did that, he turned the defensive back to the outside, and then he shot back to the inside, and you couldn't catch him. That's a guy that now we have talked about. We've seen glimpses of that from him. He had a big run against these Texans a year ago. He's got to stay healthy. That made it 24-17. Of course, Matt Schaub, big arm, goes back down the field, finds Kevin Walter on a diving touchdown grab. You might remember that play because he lost the ball as he was trying to get up. And it was that whole Calvin Johnson play from opening day in Chicago. And they reviewed it and they reviewed it. And it was a touchdown catch. It was the right call, except that it wasn't the way the officials were calling it all season long. So we had Tony Dungy that night on TV questioning the call. So now the game is tied. It's 24-24, and the Jaguars have to punt, and Matt Schaub's got it, and he's driving, and he is just kind of dinking and dunking here, tied at 24. They've got Neil Rackers. He's got a big leg. They're starting to get into that range where you're thinking one pass to Andre Johnson, and it could set the whole thing up. Well, he dropped, and he threw to his tight end, Joel Dreesen, on what seemed to be enough of a gainer to get a first down, except that the game changed on this very play.
Schaub sends Walters to the right side, takes the snap with 16 seconds to play. With some time, throws it underneath. It's caught by Dreesen. He lost the ball! He lost the ball, and the Jaguars have recovered it!
It's a scramble.
They've got it. They've got it with 8 seconds to play.
All right, so 8 seconds to play. If he would have held the ball, they could have tried a long field goal. And who knows, Rackers might have gotten it. So it was a great play by Sean Considine, who from that point forward became known as On-Time Considine because he was on time the next week as well. And first play, 8 seconds left, Garrard, bang, finds Mercedes Lewis. And then they got a defensive offsides penalty against Antonio Smith, which set up the play of the year, right? I mean, well, first of all, with all due respect to our partner, Jeff Lagerman, he didn't even think they should try it, did he? I mean, this is how inaccurate the Hail Mary pass is. This is how inordinate the Hail Mary pass is that Jeff was talking about strategy.
All right, so what do you do here?
Take a knee and hope you win the coin toss. 8 seconds, you can't do anything. Take a knee and go to OT.
Now, I mean, that's logic. That is pure, unadulterated logic from a veteran of more than 20 years as a player and a broadcaster in the National Football League, right? That is logic. It just goes to prove that sometimes logic needs to be thrown out the window.
I was ready for overtime.
Because here we go. 3 seconds left, and David Garrard gives us one of the most memorable plays in franchise history. And Joe just missed the opportunity to make it even more memorable for all of you.
All right, we're going to do it now.
Say that
How's
again.
That?
Okay. And he gives us one of the most memorable plays in franchise history.
There's some time. David shuffles his feet, turns and launches this one in the direction of Mike Sims-Walker. And this one's going to be batted and caught. Touchdown. Oh, my gosh. Oh. How did that happen? It was batted back into the arms of Mike Thomas. And the Jaguars have won it. Holy cow!
How did that happen?
That's unbelievable! Mike Sims-Walker batted it back! Oh! Hail Mary!
I can remember looking down right before that ball snapped and thinking, where were my overtime notes? And, you know, because we're going overtime, because the Hail Mary pass is such a low percentage. And I looked as David snapped the ball and he threw it up, and I'm still thinking, okay, my brain is calling the play and I'm thinking about overtime facts and where we needed to go with the broadcast. And then that ball got bounced back in. It was a dramatic moment, and one that we will all never forget. Probably, I don't know, one of the two or three most memorable plays of the entire NFL season to this point. Plays. I don't want to make it more than it was, but for the franchise, it certainly was huge. All right, so now the Jaguars are 5-4, and they've got Cleveland coming up the next week. We'll go there, and the Giants, when we return to the Coach's Show, our season in review, here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We call it our season review here as we wrap up a 17th season of Coach's Shows here across the Jaguars radio network. So now the Jaguars are 5-4 in our review, having just come down, if they did, from that amazing end of game play. David Garrard to Mike Thomas. Again, anyone who was here that day will never forget it. My 9-year-old son was in the booth. He still talks about it. It was just one of those moments. But the Jaguars still had games to play, 7 to be exact. And they got a Browns team that came in at 3-6, but had beaten in successive weeks the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans and pounded Tom Brady and the Patriots in Cleveland. So you weren't quite sure what to make of them. Well, here's what we came to realize real quick. The Jaguars had a 10-7 lead in this ball game early in the second half or in the second quarter. And you know, they were moving the ball down the field, and it was a little of this and a little of that. And Dirk Koetter decided he was going to pull a trick play out of the bag. And it was with Maurice Drew, who is not normally known for this particular trick play.
Two tight ends right, one of whom is Greg Jones. Receivers split at the numbers. David's got Maurice behind him. Toss sweep to Maurice. And Maurice is going to throw. And he's got a man, and it's intercepted. It's intercepted at the 19-yard line.
Abram Elam made the play, a little trickery. Boy, and it looked like it was going to go, and then Elam comes across the field and makes a huge play for the Browns.
See, because we knew that the Browns were going to be a tough out. They had a huge running back in Peyton Hillis and a defense that played hard, and Colt McCoy was pretty accurate that day. And so that you could tell right there, uh-oh. And now that wasn't the end of it. If you remember this game, fast forward early in the third quarter, the Jaguars were still in control here, but not for very long as Mojo took a handoff heading right to left.
Here's the handoff to Maurice looking for room, and he finds a bit of a hole. Look at him go across the 15 and still pushing his way towards the 19. A gain of 9. And now, wait, did he lose the ball? Elam's got the ball, and he's going back the other way.
They're saying touchdown. One official signified a touchdown.
Ruling on the field. Touchdown.
Oh, boy.
Maurice fumbled, or they took it away.
And looking at the Bowden Eye Associates replay right now.
Jack is looking up on the big board
as
well.
That's a fumble. That's a fumble. Clearly, now Maurice has got 2 giveaways in the game, 2 turnovers, an interception, and now fumble.
All right, so we're talking about the Jaguars star player who had a big day, 100-yard day, for the second consecutive day. He had 100 yards in Dallas. He had 100 yards against the Texans. He's starting to come into his own, and yet the ball is just, it's just not there for him. The problem was it wasn't there for David Garrard that day either. Jaguars, 6 turnovers, minus 5, and yet they still have a chance to win this stupid ball game. Are you kidding me? I mean, we couldn't believe it. It was interception. It was tipped ball. And you just thought, all right, well, you know, the winning percentage for a team that's minus 5 is like 0.00004%. You know, I mean, it just doesn't happen. Not at all. However, there was a chance, and it came from about the 25-yard line.
You really wanted Maurice to do something here because of what happened earlier with the 2, you know, fumbles and their interception. Yeah.
Less than 2 minutes to play now, and Maurice comes up with what I think will always be one of his signature plays because of the way that he ran the ball. Turns out almost everything he would do through this stretch up to the Indy game where he was injured and it was the last time that we really saw him on the field, he would have a moment like this in every game. And it was just a little dump-off pass, and it turned out to set up the game winner.
David quickly turns pumps. Now is under pressure, sets up the screen. Drew's got it looking for blockers. He's back in the middle of the field. He's at the 30-yard line. Look at him go. He's at the 35 and the 40. Breaks a tackle. He's going. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He cuts to the inside of the 20. He's on his feet to the 10. 5. Oh, he's pulling at the 1. He's pulling at the 1-yard line. Maurice Drew is stopped at the 1-yard line.
What an effort. My goodness. Jones. Freaking Drew.
And that's, pardon me, what he became through this 6-game stretch. Would punch it in a play later, and that would give the Jaguars a 24-20 lead. Now, Colt McCoy, not the biggest, not the strongest, but really effective, and working against a Jaguars secondary that truthfully all season long was anemic. They had some moments where they stood strong, but for the most part, they just were not consistent enough to be counted on game in and game out, and even Colt McCoy was able to find some stuff underneath. Put himself in a position to at least, you know, move your heart into your throat, thinking after that great play, could this defense not even stop Colt McCoy? Well, leave it to on-time Considine to change all that.
24-20. They've got to get into the end zone. No timeouts remaining. Jaguars rushing three. McCoy turns and throws. He's got a man, and it is caught. No, it's intercepted. Sean Considine took it away. It's intercepted, and the Jaguars are going to win it.
Considine took the ball right off the chest of the receiver who had fallen down, slid into the end zone, and that sealed the 24-20 victory for the Jaguars. So now, a team that after the Kansas City loss was 3-4, was now 6-4. And because of what was happening with Indy and injuries, they're in first place in the AFC South. They're right in the chase. Looking at a couple of key games, at New York, at Tennessee, at Oakland, and of course all built to, as you'll recall, at Indianapolis. And we'll have the highlights from all of those and share some thoughts from the game when we return here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Our season interview continues after this on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to our season in review 2010. Brian Sexton and Joe Fortunato. Two big games at home. You know, one of the things that you know for sure was that if you were in the stadium in 2010, you saw three moments that will go down as great moments. I mean, you can start ranking these things. They'd have to go in the top 15. The 59-yard field goal that Josh Scobie booted to beat the Colts, the Hail Mary pass, and then, of course, what Maurice did. By the way, Maurice's day against Cleveland that we just recapped, 220 yards from scrimmage, which was the best day of his career. It just so happened, from a turnover perspective, it was the worst day. He fumbled and threw interception. But Maurice came up big, folks, with that touchdown.
And that stiff arm also seems to be like a trademark of his.
Yeah, that's just the way he plays.
If he's moving, he puts his arm out, you're not going to bring him down.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. The only way they're going to bring him down is to go low, and, of course, that starts to hurt your knees. You worry about that. You worry about Maurice's long-term ability to stay on the field because he plays the game like Earl Campbell, which is to say he plays as a bull.
Yeah, but how many years did...
Six. Wow. Earl had six good years. I'm not putting a time frame on it, but you should understand that those guys wear out faster than Fred Taylor's. I mean, Fred lasted, he had some big injuries, but he lasted this long because he was rarely touched, you know? I mean, I shouldn't say that. I'm putting it the wrong way. He scored on some plays where he was never touched. Never. Remember? I mean, it's, all right, so we're recapping 2010, not the Jaguars' history, as Joe's trying to tell me. So the Giants go to New York. The Jaguars go to New York to take on Tom Coughlin and the Giants. They're 6-4. They're in first place in the AFC South. They're feeling good about themselves. They get a Giants team that's lost consecutive games to the Cowboys and to the Eagles. They're not feeling so good about themselves. And the worry here is that the Jaguars would not be able to run the ball as effectively against the Giants. Hey, the Giants were just going to close the gaps down and force David Garrard to beat them. And, of course, they were playing without Evan Britton. They had lost him in the Kansas City game a couple of weeks ago. And they're playing with Jordan Black out there against Justin Tuck and Osi Umenyora and, the rookie from Pierre Paul from South Florida. I mean, this is a group that put 11 sacks up against Chicago. So you're wondering, how's this going to play in the Jaguars' favor? Well, early on, Giants drove down the field, but Jaguars stuffed him on third and goal. And so Lawrence Tyne kicked a 22-yard field goal. Jaguars turn, opening drive, bang, 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 9 plays, 75 yards, all of it on the ground, capped by Rashad Jennings.
And here's the handoff, and there goes Jennings trying to cut his feet back. Stays in, he's into the end zone, touchdown Jacksonville!
And the beautiful part about this is the Giants only gave up 96 rushing yards per game. Going into that game, and the Jaguars had 100 in the first quarter, you know, in large part because they just stayed on the ground. It was David, it was Maurice, it was Rashad. Josh added a field goal. Jaguars took a 10-3 lead. Giants came back and got a field goal in the second quarter. It was 10-6. You're starting to wonder, okay, you know, can they keep going at this pace when David Garrard decided to take it into his own hands to cap off a 13-play, 71-yard drive that ate 5:15 off the clock? You're thinking, they can control this one. And, of course, David has magical feet.
30 seconds left. David in the shotgun with Drew. Takes the ball, drops the throw, has some time, now being chased, looks, turns, and now wants to run. and he's looking back. He's got room to run. David's going to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. David Garrard running right, then left, and the Jaguars get the end zone.
And they had some momentum. 17-6, they led at the halftime break. You're thinking, all right, now if they can just come out in the third quarter and grind it a little bit, they can beat the Giants and go home 7-4. This thing could really work. And unfortunately, it did not go from that point. It was pretty much over at that point. You saw that Mario Manningham caught a pass from Eli Manning, and Scobie booted a field goal. But the real killer was, with the game in the balance, Courtney Green lined up incorrectly on a blitz read. Manning read it right and found his tight end, Kevin Boss, for a 32-yard scoring strike. And with just a couple, 3 minutes left to play, the Jaguars found themselves down 24-20. Just couldn't make it all happen. They did have a chance to drive, and they did drive, but then it was sack, sack, sack when the game was on the line. And the Jaguars couldn't overcome the Giants that day. However, because, again, the Colts are losing, the Jaguars are staying right in the thick of it all, first place in the AFC South. When we come back, they have a game to avenge in Tennessee. Here on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, so the Jaguars, in our season in review to this point, are now 6-5. And they are headed back on the road to take on a Tennessee team that was in the midst of a losing streak. And that worried us. Because if you recall, in 2009, this same Tennessee bunch started the season 0-6 and were shellacked, beaten badly in New England in the snow, 59-0. And just so happened that the Titans were coming into this ball game against the Jaguars, having been embarrassed pretty good by the Texans down in Houston, 20-0. So you're wondering, and again, I'm sorry, I'm still coming past the flu, so if you hear a little of that, I'm apologizing in advance. So they go up there thinking they've got to win. You got to go up there. You got to stop Chris Johnson. You're not going to get to Rusty Smith, the quarterback who grew up here in Jacksonville, who played his first game in Houston. You're getting Kerry Collins, who'd been inactive for a number of weeks. You're going to get their best shot. And against Jeff Fisher, that generally means something. It did not. The Jaguars came out fired up and ready to go. What do they do? Drive the ball down the field, 12 plays, 77 yards. This would be a second consecutive 200-yard rushing game for the Jaguars. They would run for 258 yards because of runs like this from Rashad Jennings.
Offset eye, David hands it off, and Jennings has the first down, and more on his feet. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, touchdown, Jacksonville.
Hey, they were just going for it there. I mean, they were just trying to, you know, knife into position and find a way to score first. And they didn't want just a field goal. So on fourth down, they go for it, and he scores an 11-yard touchdown run. Come into the second quarter now. Kerry Collins is starting to loosen up. He's throwing the ball better, and he decides it's time to rocket the ball downfield a little bit. And we got a glimpse of the Derek Cox we remembered from his rookie season.
It's play action, pocket collapsing. Collins turns and throws the ball down the field. He's looking for Nate Washington. It's intercepted! Derek Cox stepped right in front of him and made a beautiful leaping grab for the ball, and it's first and 10 Jacksonville at their own 43. What a play.
It really was. He lunged out in stride, caught the ball, and then turned it back up the field. That is what Gene Smith and Terry McDonough saw in this young kid 2 years ago when they drafted him from William & Mary. He obviously had the disruption early in the season when he struggled and the coach put him on the bench, but he proved in this ball game, especially with a big play he'd make later against Randy Moss on the goal line, that the kid has the skills to be able to play. That turnover set up this touchdown.
First and goal from the four. Here's the handoff to Moore. No, it's play action. There goes David. And he's going to stop and restart again and run into the end zone for a touchdown. Got away from Chris Hope and scores for a 13-0 lead.
Jaguars would lead 17-0 at the halftime break, which ironically was the same score as the Titans held over the Jaguars here on Monday Night Football in that embarrassing 30-3 loss for Jack Del Rio's football team. From that point on, you know, they really didn't threaten. They got a couple of field goals in the second half. The Jaguars clamped down, but it was the story was that the Jaguars ran the ball for 258 yards against Jeff Fisher. I mean, that's just that Titans team does not give up that kind of yardage on the ground. But the best play was at the end when Maurice Jones-Drew, who carried the ball 31 times for 186 yards, put on a clinic with that patented stiff arm.
David hands it off. There goes on the cutback. Maurice has broken a tackle. And another at the 40. Puts a stiff arm down. 45, 50. There he goes up the sideline. He's at the 40. Cutting it back. He's at the 30. Stays on his feet all the way down to the 27-yard line.
He's going for two. Holy cow. What a run. What a stiff arm.
It really was. And at this point, he is the highlight machine. I mean, they have him all over NFL Network. Deion Sanders can't say his name enough. He's on ESPN. He is everywhere. Maurice is starting to really take control of this thing to this point. That's five straight 100-yard games. And, well, he's got his sights set on more. And the Jaguars now have one game between them and Indy. One game to set up a winner-takes-all situation for the AFC South title. Could they get it done? We'll find out when the Jaguars take on the Raiders when we return here on the Jack Del Rio season-ending season in review on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to our season in review 2010. Brian Sexton, Joe Fortunato. Jaguars come home after that big win over the Tennessee Titans. And at this point, they're 7-5, and they need to beat the Raiders because they need to go into Indy the next week, winner take all. A win over the Raiders sets it all up. Now, this is not that slouching Raiders team that we've seen here before. This is a Raiders team that's running the ball well with Darren McFadden. This is a team that's throwing the ball well with some exciting young options out in the passing attack for them. And of course, it was all McFadden that particular day.
They were still in the thick of it too when they played us, right?
Yeah, they were 6-6, and they would go undefeated in the AFC West this year. They were undefeated. It's just that they went 2-6 outside of the AFC West. Mm-hmm. That was their problem. But I mean, Jacoby Ford, the young rookie from South Florida who went to Clemson. I mean, they had things, and they were starting to kind of put that whole thing together. I mean, McFadden, early on, he was a beast. First quarter, 67-yard, little dump-off pass. It was a blown coverage by the Jaguars, and he went 67 yards. And he was like, wow. I mean, that was Fred Taylor-esque to see all that he brought into it. And then, you know, the Jaguars answer, and they tie the score with the Mercedes Lewis catching the touchdown pass. But, you know, Janikowski got a field goal, and then the Raiders get another touchdown pass. Lewis Murphy, the former Gator from Jason Campbell, they led 17-7 at the halftime break. And you're thinking, uh-oh, too much talk about the next week, too much talk about the next opponent, not enough focus on this one. Didn't turn out to be the case. Jaguars open with the football in the third quarter, and it really didn't take very long for David Garrard to put his team in position at the 48-yard line of Oakland.
Here's play action. David's got plenty of time looking down the field. He's going to launch this one for Jason Hill. And Hill's got it! Touchdown, Jacksonville! What a throw!
First real glimpse at what Jason Hill could do from a speed perspective. We had seen the week before him make an amazing grab in the back of the end zone in Tennessee. It was ruled out of bounds, but it was a great one-handed catch, no doubt. But we saw him put it all together then. We went, okay, so it's 17-14. Here's the thing. The Raiders are explosive. Next drive for them, McFadden bursts off a 51-yard run. So now he's got two 50-yard touchdowns in the ball game, and the Jaguars now are down 10 again, 24-14. However, things were just starting to get heated up. They gave the ball on third and short to Rashad Jennings, and it turned into anything but a short run.
David hands it off. Rashad Jennings trying to get to the outside. Burst of speed. Is he going to get the corner? He is. First down and more. Across the 30. The 35. There he goes. 40. He's midfield. He's going. He's at the 40. He's on the run to the 30. The 20. There he goes to the 10. 5. Touchdown. Rashad Jennings.
First 100-yard game of his career, in part to that beautiful run. Speed turning back to the inside. And the Jaguars were now down 24-21. Mike Sims-Walker would catch a 10-yard pass to give the Jaguars the lead. They can get a field goal to extend that lead. However, Darren McFadden would bring it all back into perspective and tie the ball game at 31 with his third rushing touchdown of the ball game. I'm sorry. I don't know how to explain it other than I'm getting over the flu, folks. To tie the ball game at 31 late in the fourth quarter. So the Jaguars get the ball back with about a minute and a half left. And Janikowski kicks it deep. And for the first time since the Buffalo game, back in October, Deji Kareem rears his head.
Kareem's across the 10 and the 15, looking for a hole, 15, 20. There he goes across the 30. Deji's got a hole. He's at the 40. Turns back across the 50. He's on the run to the 40. Kareem's at the 30 and out of bounds in Raiders territory. What a return and what a time for it.
Absolutely. 30 yards away now from a go-ahead touchdown. And I think I turned to Jeff and I said, how about a Maurice Jones-Drew 30-yard touchdown run? Oh, you've got that. All right, well, so here's the game winner.
How about a Maurice Jones-Drew touchdown run and a sixth consecutive 100-yard day? High formation, too tight. Here's the handoff. Maurice up the middle. There he goes. He's going! 10-5! Touchdown! Maurice Jones-Drew! Right up the middle!
He's so good that we can even predict what he's going to do next. I mean, he makes it easy, doesn't he? It was beautiful. The fans went alive. We're talking about a 31-point second half. For a Jaguars team that had not scored a lot of points in the second half in the previous 6 weeks, they had gotten off to some big leads and managed to kind of fight, scratch, and kick their way to wins like against Cleveland and Houston. 31 points in the second half. They beat the Raiders. They're 8-5. They're now headed to take on the Indianapolis Colts, who are 7-6. And, you know, I mean, here's their chance. Here is their chance. It's all we talked about all week, right, was this is the biggest game in Jaguars. We're all trying to compare it to this game or that game. They beat the Raiders. They're set up perfectly.
Here's a plug for tickets, okay?
Okay.
Is there any reason not to believe we're not going to see more of this next year? Especially from Maurice.
No. No.
Healthy Maurice.
Well, that's what you'd like. You'd like to know that he's going to be healthy and on the field. And obviously, Gene and Terry and his crew, they're down in Orlando this week at the East-West Shrine Game.
Yep.
And that's the process that they're embarking on right now is to find young talent, to bring more players in. If you look what Gene and Terry have done here the last 2 years since they took over the drafting process and removed it from Shaq Harris's hands, and we could talk forever about the damage that he did. But what those two guys have done here in terms of talent, no, there's no reason not to believe that. None whatsoever. All right, so let's take a break. We'll talk about that Colts game, Washington and Houston. We know that from this point now, that was the peak of the season. But we'll come back and recap it anywhere, share some thoughts, and send another season of the Jack Del Rio Show to the archives. After this, on the Jack... All right, so now we get to the real meat of the season, and this is the Indy game. Jaguars go up there. What can you say? You knew that Peyton Manning was tired of hearing about all of the pick sixes that he had thrown in November, and people questioned whether his time was done. Clearly, the Colts team was beaten down. Dallas Clark was on injured reserve. You know, they were playing without a backup left tackle, and they were mixing and matching guards, and they hadn't had Joseph Addai in weeks. They wouldn't have him for this game either. Clint Session, one of their best defensive players, was out. Bob Sanders, Melvin Bullitt. I mean, it was just not a good team. It's not a good team. It's just a great quarterback. And the question was, could the Jaguars go toe-to-toe with these guys like they did down here? Problem was, during the week, we got wind of a hamstring injury that David Garrard had suffered in practice. And remember, David was a huge part of the Jaguars' win here, not just for throwing, but that 25-yard touchdown run and that little reverse option that he ran. So all of a sudden, that's out of the game. But more importantly, this was where we learned that Maurice Jones-Drew's knee was a problem. And he tried to gut it out. He tried to work hard and gut it out in that ball game because he knew how big it was. But only 15 carries and only 46 yards. Credit the Colts. They came into the game, and they were going to stop the run at all costs. And they threw everything at the line of scrimmage, every single play. There was no room to run. They knew what the Jaguars wanted to do. And, without the quarterback that had led them all season long, meaning a guy who was mobile, and without Maurice Jones-Drew, who had been the fuel, the engine for this team through this streak where they got themselves into this position, the Jaguars were going to struggle. You know, Peyton Manning found Austin Collie early, 7-0. You know, the Jaguars get a chance to go down the field, but they have to settle for a field goal. 15-play drive, 77 yards, but they settle for a field goal. And that's the key. We say this every time we broadcast a Colts-Jaguars game. You got to go touchdown for touchdown. You can't do that with Peyton Manning. Manning comes right back down. Bang. Austin Collie again. 27-yard touchdown pass, and it's 14-3. Now, things are starting to look bad. You're starting to get the sense that there's all kinds of momentum, and this is a proud franchise, and the AFC South crown had been theirs, and the Jaguars got a big stop. And they forced the Colts to punt. And you're thinking, you know, maybe Mike Thomas can give the Jaguars something here with about 3.5 minutes to play in the half. At least they can have a little momentum going into the locker room.
And so back deep is Mike Thomas. And here's McAfee to punt. Gets off a high, spiraling punt. Thomas is going to make the fair catch and get the sideline. Look at him go. He's at the 40. He's at the 45. There he goes to the 50 down the sideline. He's scoring. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. Thomas, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Jaguars!
Ooh, all of a sudden you had something. It was 14-10 at halftime, and you're feeling pretty good about what they may be able to do. Problem was, Jaguars essentially turned the ball over. This is where Jack went for it. You know, he earned the nickname this year, Gambling Jack. Probably earned it a couple of years ago. Goes for it on 4th-and-1, opening series of the third quarter, his own 39-yard line. Jaguars don't get it. Maurice Jones-Drew fumbles. They pick it up at the 38-yard line. A couple plays later, they go bang, and Donald Brown scores a touchdown. And from that point on, Jaguars had some chances, but turnovers killed them. So, all right, that'll do it for the Indianapolis game. It turned out to be a huge letdown. There were some injured players, but I think what we'll find is that the Colts got them more than once. Got them against the Redskins. Got them against the Texans. Too much on that one game, and it just didn't happen. So we'll come back and wrap things up here on our season in review right after this. Well, Joe and I are just sitting here looking at the clock and watching it tick down. We really don't need to tell you anything about the Washington game. David Garrard did score this 20-yard touchdown to tie the ball game in the fourth quarter, which set a team record for rushing touchdowns by a quarterback.
David, a quick draw. There he goes. David's at the 15-yard line. David makes a man miss. He's at the 10. But David Garrard, touchdown, Jaguars!
Got to give him credit, folks. The two records, most touchdown passes in the season, most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback, and he plays like that, gave the Jaguars chances this year. And also Mercedes Lewis in the Houston game. Not a lot of great highlights, but he did have this touchdown catch, his 10th of the season.
He's lined up in the I formation. Edwards is under center. Brad Meester takes the ball, hands it. Oh, it's play action. Looking into the end zone, turns and fires. He's got Mercedes Lewis. Lewis is in. Touchdown, Jacksonville. His 10th of the season. And that ties Reggie Williams' club record from 2007.
And it belongs to a class guy like Mercedes Lewis. We're just about out of time.
Did you hear Loggy say after that? I didn't have it recorded. No, that he didn't want
Reggie Williams to have it. Because Reggie's a knucklehead. That's just all you can say. Here's the thing. For the very first time since we've started this show 17 years ago, we're not exactly sure when it's going to start back up again. The labor issues are something to keep your eye on, folks. When the issues are solved, and God willing, they will be solved, we'll be back on the air with this show getting you ready for 2011. Thanks so much for a great season and listening every Tuesday. Happy New Year, everybody. God bless.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.